So we're about to begin the next melacha. It's not a fairly large melacha in the Gemara itself. It's very, very short. Yet somehow in the contemporary poskim, it's gotten a lot of attention. Those are the issues relating to memachek. So the beit melacha of memachek, of scraping, or smoothing, whatever you want to call it. So it was done in the context of the Mishkan. It was part of the Ibur Oros process, which is going to be why we're going to talk about Ibur for this melacha as well. Where's everybody today? Not to the whole back corner. Left alone. Okay, so the malacha of memachek is part of the ibud process. Days of the Mishkan, so it was done to clean off, to scrape off the hair, the wool, is that in order to prepare the skins for the furthering of the process of preparing them for whatever they had to be done for. So this was an issue in terms of removing the wool, removing the hair. That's what some of the Talmidim were talking about today. That sounds like Geizes already. That sounds like we know that malacha. That's already Geizes story. And we assume that Geizes applies even after the animal is dead already. So okay, what comes from Memachik and Geizes? At least the Memachik that was practiced in the Mishkan. So the Pashas HaDvarim is that if it's done for different purposes, Geizes is done to use the wool, Memachik is done in order to improve the Oros. Whether or not that chiluk is correct depends on a lot of things that we spoke about in terms of Melachas Geizes. Bring back some memories of the Taisus and the Rivash. Is that exactly true? So we'll get plugging in everything we spoke about Geizes. That chiluk may or may not be true. So some of the boys were arguing me today that if you hold like Taisus that there's a concept of Melach Shetzich LeGufa in Melachas Geizes, that Melachas Geizes is only violated in the Torah if you want the Giza. And anything else is not a deraisa. So then I understand full well what the difference between geizes and memachik is. Geizes is if you want the giza, and memachik is if I don't want the giza, I just want to clean off the skins. So then I understand the chiluk very, very well. The problem is if you hold either like the Rambam or if you hold like the Rivash. The Rambam holds melach shen suguf is chayev, and the Rivash holds that even if you hold melach shen suguf is potter, you're still chayev for removing the wool, the hair, if your goal is to beautify the skins. That was the whole Rivash about the cutting of the nails. So if you hold either one of those two, then lechari you have a problem. So we pointed out this morning in Seder that we dug up that Merkavas HaMishnah that I had meant to talk about. The Merkavas HaMishnah claims B'das HaRambam that even though the Rambam holds that Malach HaShem Siddur Gufa is Chayev, but Geizes would be in a sense an exception to that rule. Geizes falls into the category like Taisus for the umpteenth time this year. It's like Taisus and Dafayim Gimel, that certain Malachas even Rabbi Yehuda would concede require L'tzarech. So Zomri V'tzarech Li'etzim, unless you do it L'tzarech Eitzim, somehow Ein Shem Kaitzer Alav. So the Bekeres HaMishnah claims that maybe according to the Rambam also that Geizes v'eino tzarech legiza, maybe that's called Malach Shetzich Legufa. That's better than Malach Shetzich Legufa. Maybe you would taka be totally potter in that. That's Lav Shem Malach HaKlal. And that's the Chiddush of Malachas Memachei. So that may or may not be true, and according to the Rivash, for sure that's not true. So according to the Rivash, or maybe even according to the Rambam, you tap in the corner, what is the practical difference as it played out in terms of the Mishkan? It doesn't question the whole Malach of Memachik. There are half a dozen other cases of Memachik that have nothing to do with Gizah, nothing to do with Cyrus of Oros. The question is only on in the conceptual sense, on that original Malach, the original playing out of the Malach in terms of the Mishkan, where do you draw the line between what's called Memachik and what's called Gizah? But practically speaking, there are clearly cases of Memachik that have nothing at all to do with the Oros, and therefore the Malach does stand on its own. Why you need the Malach, what happened to Gizah, that's a big question. So when we speak about memachek, we're not going to speak too much about scraping off animal skins. We're going to talk much more about the Gemara's application of memachek. It's really a told in a sense of memachek, but we call memareach. So we're going to use the terms interchangeably. So don't be medayek in anything I say in the next 45 minutes. If I use the word memachek, memareach, you can be medayek in what I say, but not in those two terms. We're just going to keep on, you know, going back and forth. Memachek / memareach, we're going to use them interchangeably. So the Mishnah speaks about a potential isser of memareach, as they told the memachek, in terms of a person takes a waxy kind of material, takes wax, and uses the wax to smear out the wax in order to plug up a hole in the barrel. So the Gemara says that smacks of a problem of memareach. Why is that memareach? Because the whole yisoid of the malacha of memachek / memareach is the smoothing out of a surface. So in the days of the Mishkan, they smooth out the surface by removing the hair and the wool. Here, I'm not really removing anything. I'm just taking the waxy substance and I'm smoothing out the wax in such a way that it closes up the hole properly, so that's also considered to be part of the melacha of memachik. So anytime I smooth out something, I'm accomplishing something with my smoothing, so that's considered by definition to be the melacha. The Gemara then goes on and says that that only makes sense min haTorah if you're dealing with something which is a pretty thick kind of a substance, like a waxy material. But what if you have a liquid? And then the Gemara quotes a machlekes Rav and Shmuel. What if you have a liquidy material, but it's a thick kind of a liquid? There are liquids and there are liquids, so it's hard to believe there would be any mimareach on water. Very hard to smooth it anyway. No surface to it. What if you take an oily kind of a material, something which is a thick kind of an oil? So that was a machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Although min haTorah, that's not really mimachek. It's not considered to be having a surface. But mid the Rabbanon, maybe we should be geyser, that if people are going to be spreading out the oil, so the next thing you know, they're going to be spreading out the wax, which would be a deraisa. So it's a machlekes amarayim. And we pass in the chumrin that shall, we pass in the krav, that there would be a problem, at least on the level of the Rabbanon. So again, so within the malacha of memachik, memareach, so you have a lot of different kinds of scenarios. So you have the original memachik in terms of the removal, the mesa cyrus, which thereby smooths out the skin. Then you have the memareach with something like shaiva, which is wax, which is a real problem. Then you have another kind of memareach mid the rabbanon of things which are gezeiros, otu shaava types of materials. Pretty much that's what plays out in terms of the Gemara itself. So come to Rishonim and start to raise questions about how far we can take this malacha. I didn't say anything yet. I just putting words. Okay, but now that it's spread out, that's also called making it smooth. I think so. That's a chiddush. That's a told of the machik. It's not real machik. The real malacha deraisa, the av malacha, is when you something was a rough surface, and now I start to remove the rough surface to make it smooth. That's machik of the av. The mareach is I'm not really. You're right. I'm not really changing the surface. I'm not changing the, I don't know what the word is, texture, whatever it is, but I'm still moving it around. And now it used to be a blob of wax, and now it's a nice, smoothed out piece of wax. That's also called the mareach. That's what it says. That's what the Gemara says. I didn't say that. The Gemara says that. So comes the Mordechai and raises the first shaila, first relevant shaila for us. Does this malacha memachik / mareach apply in the realm of food? We've already seen this chiluk before. Some malachas apply dafka to foods, other malachas dafka apply not to foods. So comes the Mordechai and raises the shaila. What's the din? Should we say that this malacha is limited to non-foods? Well, the case in the Gemara, the cyrus, the shaiva, these kinds of things are not material food. What if you have, a piece of food and you want to smooth it off a little bit, make it look a little bit nice? Is that considered to be malacha at all? So comes the Mordechai and jumps and says, well, that's probably relevant to another shaila that appears in the Gemara, the machlekes in the Gemara, or whether yesh ibud ba'oichlin or ain ibud ba'oichlin. What's the connection between the two? So probably the Mordechai is working with the assumption that these are oros types of malachas. We know that the malachas of the Mishkan are categorized. There's the Sidur Depas, that's one category of malachas. Then you have the malachas that are the preparing of the ureals kinds of malachas. Those were the geizes and the koshers and the tofers and all those, and kid malabe and all the malachas that dealt with fabric. Then you have other malachas that deal, we can get to a little bit later on, about malachas that deal with the krushim. Then you have malachas that deal with the oiris. So we started out, we spoke about the malacha of tzad, and we spoke about the malacha of shochet. We weren't sure where tzad came from, and tzad shochet we know, you need to tell the shama. And one of the, several of the other malachas include the ma'abed and the mechatech, things that we're not even going to talk about. And one of them being the machek. So the Mordechai seemed to understand that these malachas go as a package deal together. So do we say that these malachas are fundamentally not oichel malachas? If you're looking for the oichel malachas, and you're going to go back to do with the pas, these are fundamentally not oichel malachas. Or do you say no? Just because in the Mishkan they were not oichel doesn't mean that it carries over l'dayrus. Maybe that characteristic of not being oichel is not such a significant characteristic. We spoke about that before. Which characteristics are important, which are not important. Kidulei karka maybe is an important characteristic, not an oichel, maybe not such an important characteristic. Right? We spoke about the Tosfos Rid and others, but we spoke about this in the past. So you always have to ask this question when you're learning out the details from Mishkan, which details are important and which characteristics are not really important. So the Mordechai begins to extrapolate from Mishkan. What should the din be? Should we say that these malachas of memachek is limited to not oichel and not? So he says, well, it's the same shah in the Gemara about Ibud. So how do we paskin? Is the Ibud Ba'ichlin? Is no Ibud Ba'ichlin? So the simple reading, the Maskanus Gemara seems to be, is that Taka ain't Ibud Ba'ichlin. Not everyone agrees to that. We spoke about this also in the past. But we're going to work with the assumption ain't Ibud Ba'ichlin. Great. So there's no Ibud Ba'ichlin. Everything's hunky dory. Everything's gewaldic. So then the Mordechai says, takes a little bit of a back panel. He says, well, it's true that ain't Ibud Ba'ichlin mid the Araisa, but it could be that mid the Rabbanan. There is Ibud Ba'ichlin. What led the Mordechai to believe that there's Ibud Ba'ichlin mid the Rabbanan? The Gemara doesn't say it the Feirish. So the Mordechai refers to Gemaras that appear later on in Masechah Shabbos, but the Gemara talks about certain kinds of activities that sound like that they're also, the Gemara says Beferish or also mid the Rabbanan, they sound like they smack of some kind of an Ibud Shiloh. What possibly could be an Ibud mid the Rabbanan? So the Gemara in the sugi of Ibud Diraisa Ba'ichlin, when the Gemara quotes Machlekes whether there's Ibud Diraisa in Ba'ichlin, so the Gemara talks about the possibility of salting something, whether that's considered to be Ibud, because the Ibud process on when they used to tan the skins, so part of the process was salting it. Those who remember from Gemara's and Gittin talks about that a little bit, Gemara's and Shabbos talk about that. So that anytime you put a lot of salt on something and you change the texture of something by putting a lot of salt into it, that smacks a little bit of Ibud. So the Gemara raised the question, but the Yeshi would be Eichlin, any would be Eichlin. So all of a sudden, the end, later on, Masechah Shabbos, the Gemara talks about certain things that you're not allowed to salt. You're not allowed to salt, put a lot of salt on your cucumbers, that could be a problem. You put a lot of salt on other things, that could be a problem. If you prepare salt water, sometimes, if it's a lot of salt water, a very concentrated salt water, sugyas and details in the Gemara about the salt. There's a whole sugya tucked away, a whole omen in the Gemara about certain limitations on salting vegetables and salting foods and preparing salt water. How chagadja about the salt water. So comes the Mordechai and says, what's this based on? Which malach is this? Zareya, Kaitse, Ma'abed. Which malach is that a problem of? So it must be that those are all the Rabbanans of Ma'abed. It must be that even though the Gemara concludes in Paraklal Gadol that ain't Ibud Ba'ichlin, that means that a love of the Araisa, it's so radically different. It's a category of malachas that's not food related, but with the Rabbanan, anything that smacks of Ibud, anything that looks like soul, anything that there's a shaychas to Ibud process is also with the Rabbanan, even though it's on food. It comes to Mordechai and says, oh, once we're willing to say that Yesh Ibud Ba'ichlin, at least on a level of the Rabbanan, that's going to spell trouble for maybe Yesh Memareach Ba'ichlin on a level of the Rabbanan as well. So maybe any kind of time you're going to start to smooth out your food, you're going to run into a problem of Memareach Ba'ichlin. So the emphasis is that equation of the Mordechai is only as true as the Yesh Ibud Ba'ichlin is. Is that really true? That there's such a klal of Yesh Ibud Ba'ichlin mid the Rabbanan? What led the Mordechai to believe this? That whole Shakvatar in the Gemara about the salting, the cucumbers, and the preparing the salt water, the whole story over there. So there happens to be a major machlekes in Rishayim. What exactly is the problem in that sugya? The Gemara goes on a whole tangent about different limitations of salt on Shabbos, and the Gemara never explains what the problem is. So the Mordechai is going, like the Bali Ateisvis, who assumed that it's a problem of Ibud, albeit an Ibud mid the Rabbanan. So the Rambam happens to have an entirely different picture in that whole sugya. The Rambam writes that the reason why there are certain limitations on salting on Shabbos have nothing to do with Melech HaZibud. They're a throwback to an old Melech that we spent quite some time on. What is that? Bishul. What does it have to do with Bishul? What does salting have to do with Bishul? What does salting have to do with Bishul? No, who's going to tell me? We have klala melech kereseya kavush kemavushol. If you put things into vinegar solutions, it's like bishol gadal kavush kemavushol. We spoke about kavush kemavushol, right? Then we talk about it. It's a major machlokes. It's kavush kemavushol. There ice on Shabbos, not there ice on Shabbos. So comes the Rambam and says all of these isurim. The reason why you can't salt your cucumber is because it's part of the bishol process, and the reason why you maybe can't make salt water on Shabbos because it's part of the Bishul. It's all part of Kavish Kavashim. It's like pickling cucumbers. It's a whole different malacha. Nothing to do with Ibud Bichlal. According to the Rambam, the whole Mordechai stops in all his tracks. He's making whole Shtickel Torah. He's sure that the rules of Ibud govern the rules of Memareach, but he's pilpuling. Just because Ein Ibud Ba'ichlin mid Araisa doesn't mean that Ein Ibud Ba'ichlin mid Rabbanan. And Harai, there is Ibud Ba'ichlin, therefore maybe Yesh Memareach Ba'ichlin mid Rabbanan. Going to the Rambam, the whole thing doesn't get off the ground. The whole thing just stops right away. Just as an aside, since we are talking about this Gemara, this Ibud Ba'ichlin Gemara, as well as those Bishul Gemaras, whoever they are potentially important for our discussion, at least according to the Mordechai's equation. What are the guidelines? Just what are the parameters of that Gemara? So the Gemara tells us that you're not allowed to salt certain vegetables on Shabbos. Which vegetables are you not allowed to salt? The vegetables that are normally pickled. Anything that's normally pickled, so then you're not allowed to salt. Either because it resembles a little bit ibud, or because it resembles a little bit bishul. But if you have a vegetable that nobody ever salts, nobody ever pickles, it's not normal to pickle, so then you're allowed to put a little bit of salt. If your food doesn't taste good in Shabbos, you can put some salt on. It's not a problem.
So is Raman fighting on the
tears
that happened with
the
Mishkan with tanning the skins?
No, everybody agrees they use salt for tanning. That's part of the tanning process. But the Rambam says that once it's ochlin, so then there's no ibud ochlin at all. Not midiraisa, not midirabbanan. The Gemara talks about isra of salting. That's a different isra legamet. It's a bishul isra, not a tanning isra. Once it's a bishul isra, then there's no comparison to memarech b'chol. We got the wrong package of malachas. So basically, what it boils down to in that sugya in Masechah Shabbos is that it all depends on whether it's darke b'kach to salt to pickle or not. So what are some things that are darke b'kach to pickle? Pickles, right? Cucumbers, okay? So you can't salt your cucumbers. What about other kinds of things? Other things? What, other vegetables? I don't know. There's no more than I do. What other things? Sometimes people pickle. Beets. They pickle beets. Okay. Onions, I don't know. Tomatoes are big tumult. Right? They're talking about tomatoes. So some Pesachim wanted to be making on the tomatoes. Why? And we know why? Because usually when you have in your salad, so I have a little sliced tomato. They usually don't pickle slices of tomato. They pickle whole tomatoes. So one could argue that maybe that's not dubia to the pickling process, and then there's no gezeira. So then what's the problem about the... So then maybe it can be mounted cucumbers based on that. Because when I already cut up my salad, so I'm a little piece of cucumber, I want to salt my cucumber, maybe that should be okay, because they only pickle whole cucumbers. Is that true? So how do they make the pickle chips? So do they slice them before they slice them after? Who knows? Who could say with absolute certainty? So this was the latest asafik about 15 years ago. I was giving a shiur, and I had like 100 balabatim at the shiur, and we all boiled down to this one nakuda. Nobody could give me a straight answer. How they pickle chips? Do they, real quick, who's Googling pickle chips? So do they make them, do they make whole pickles, or do they cut them first? I don't know. So apparently what happened was that I was giving a shiur about, it was a Kol Yom Rishon here. Yes, yeah, one of the early days of Kol Yom Rishon. And the whole shiur was about issues of making salad on Shabbos. So we spoke about, right? We spoke about the teichin shaylas, and we spoke about kolev shaylas, berer shaylas, dosh, everything everyone wanted to know about making salad on Shabbos. So we spoke about salting also. So for some reason, I probably told over the story when we learned teichin. For some reason, Nachum Siegel found this shiur like fascinating or something, and he was talking about it on the radio. And I don't remember what exactly happened with that. Whether I was calling in, my wife was—I forgot already what happened. But I think my wife was calling in for something. I don't know if it was a wife connect. I don't remember. I forgot already what the shtal shel hadvarim was years ago. And what happened was that he was like marveling how Rabbi Sololoski was talking all about making salads. So my wife said something in the radio, something about Rabbi Sololoski doesn't know anything about making salads. She didn't mean that I don't know anything about halacha. She said I wouldn't even know how to cut a pickle if she asked me to cut a pickle. So I know that became like a famous line in Nachum Siegel one time that the rabbi doesn't know anything about making salad and shots. Every time Nachum sees me, so we keep on reminiscing about the pickling. Okay. But yeah. Before you put him into what? Into vinegar. That's bad.
Yeah.
So Martha Stewart, Hot Kapaskin, that it's also to Okay. Anyone has in a machlekes? Anyone disagrees? She's the Pasekhan? Achron? Achrona? Okay. Okay, good. All right, Rabbi, getting back to the story. So the Mordechai's whole Shakvatari over here is all assuming something about that Gemara, which may or may not be agreed, definitely not agreed upon by all. But so Lamaisa, the Mordechai seems to end up in the Chomer position, that at least with the Rabbanon, you shouldn't be doing Ibud and Oichlin, and then Memeilu, you shouldn't be doing Memarech and Oichlin either. But then the Mordechai reevaluates the Shaila. He says, you know what? It's very, very funny to call this Memarech and Oichlin. You know why? Said, what are you accomplishing? What are you doing exactly? Memarech means that you accomplished something. I had a very rough animal skin, and now I smooth it out as Kabbalah. Or I had a bow which had a hole in it, and I maneuvered, I finagled the wax into place. Gevaldik. Somebody called me a few weeks ago with a shayla of wax. I was so excited. My merech shayla on the braces, in the back of the braces. No, they cut into the... No, they back. So the shayla is, can you put wax and start moving the wax? I said, it's a shayla there, I was so excited. I said, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai would have said, you're sofi chayav chatas for it. I was so excited for it. The person patient wasn't as excited as I was. So in all those cases of merech, you're doing something. Whereas over here, what are you smoothing exactly? Tell me what's going on. So you're eating your, I don't know, what are you eating? bring your peanut butter and you're smoothing out the peanut butter a little bit. So what exactly are you accomplishing? Because I want to make a real nice smoothie of peanut butter. It's Efshalocha Balavze. You don't have to smooth the peanut butter. You can eat this peanut butter in a rough peanut butter instead of a smooth peanut butter. You're not accomplishing anything. So Mordechai says, you know, maybe we could get this out of the Malachim and Merech on different grounds. Forget about the Eichman. Eichman's going to solve their Raisa problem, not going to solve their Rabbanan problem. Maybe the fact that Lohani Midi, you're not accomplishing anything, maybe that itself should be enough to be monitored, even though you're trying to smooth it. Your goal is to make a nice smooth surface, but Lamais, you're not really doing all that much. Maybe it should be mutter. So then the Mordechai concludes with the final words. Four words. Hamachmer tovel of bracha. You don't want the bracha of the Mordechai. Hamachmer tovel of bracha. The Mordechai gives you a bracha not to do. He says, we're not sure. He's not 100% sure that it's okay. So come the later poskim and say that b'medivar mamurim, that it's even a shayla of samachmer tovel of bracha. That makes sense when your goal is really to smooth. It's just that it's probably mutter, and it's probably mutter because it's ainu b'eichlin, and it's probably mutter because it's you're not really accomplishing all that much. But what if your goal is not even to smooth? You're not interested in smoothing. You have another goal. What's your goal? I want to get the peanut butter, not to smooth out the peanut butter. Why am I quote unquote smoothing it? Because I want to have a sandwich. So it's just a very klutzy kind of a sandwich if I just take the peanut butter and just plop it onto the bread. So I want to put the peanut butter all over the bread, not because I'm particularly interested in the shape and texture of the peanut butter, but because I don't want to have a piece of bread which doesn't have some food on it. We know what happens when the sandwich doesn't come out right. It just doesn't taste right. Then I got to go put more peanut butter on to get that. I just want the peanut butter to fill up the bread, but I don't really want the peanut butter. Or I'm making myself a tuna sandwich. So I want to put the tuna all over the challah roll. Why? Because I don't want to eat an empty challah roll. I want that extra Einik Shabbos of having the fish on the challah. It's not that I'm really interested in the shape and texture and form of the peanut butter, of the tuna fish, or the peanut butter, whatever you're smearing out. So come the later post and say, that's bechlal nothing. That's mamash hatabama. So halach lemaisa, if a person wants to make a sandwich in Shabbos, one can make a sandwich and he can spread out his chumah spread, his tuna spread, his peanut butter spread, whatever he's spreading on the bread, that's okay. If you're not doing it with Torah spreading on the bread, but you're really trying to shape a little bit and make it a nice little, nice smoothie kind of a picture of the peanut butter, then hamach metavel abrach, even that probably mikra din is really mutter. That's at best a chumra bi'alma. The mikra din, it's mutter on a multiple count, either because any b'ochlin, even midrabban according to many, or because it's efshalach b'liza, you're not really accomplishing anything. So mikra din is no mamarech b'chlal. But liyesas eis, unless it's just stump spreading on the bread, l'chatchilu, once you try to avoid spreading things in Shabbos. So this is all in the realm of the ibu b'ochlin story. So that's probably the machmet of lebracha, right? You want to make it nice. That's the problem. So maybe they don't want such brachas from the Mordechai. Okay, so Mordechai gave him a bracha. He didn't give a klal if you do it. He just said you don't get a bracha if you don't. I don't know how to peel cucumbers. I don't know how to make icing on cakes. I don't know.
Well, that time you want to spread it, not the icing on
the cake. I don't know. It's a suffix in the bracha, the Mordechai. I don't know. Okay. Baruch Mordechai. Okay. Still Chodesh Adar. Okay. Now, by the way, we move on to the next part of the sugya. Now we get a potential real shayla of Mimarech. Maybe. Also comes the Mordechai. That's what he was very into, these Mimarech shaylas. Comes to Mordechai and begins a discussion, not about Mimarech, a different topic altogether with Hashanahs. The first one to raise the question of using a soap kind of a material on Shabbos. So he wasn't talking about what we call soap. He was talking about washing off your hands with some something which has chaylev in it, that fat in it, that's usar. So he was potentially worried about two different problems. First of all, there's a general kashrus problem. Am I permitted to rub, forget about on Shabbos and Tuesday, am I allowed to rub the soap on my hands? What's the kashrus problem? Chaylev is mutter behanah. What's the problem? Sicha kashtia problem. Gemara says, and the Mishnah says, and the end of Masechet Yuma, Masechet Shabbos also, for that matter, the ninth parak, there's a nisa called Tzicha Kishtiyah, like on Yom Kippur, or let's say for Truma, you're not allowed to shmear, Truma on your hands, because it's like you're drinking the Truma. You're not allowed to shmear oil on your hands in Yom Kippur, it's like you're drinking the oil. Atovo, Shemin Bekirbo, Mayim Bekirbo, Shemin Chatzmosav, Menayim Lasicha Kishtiyah. So that's already a whole different problem. This is not even a Shabbos problem. This is a Kashas problem. So our minig is, we're very, very makelin this. Why are we so makelin this? What happened to Sikh Shliya? So there's a famous sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Who remembers? Who's with the Tzachim? So Rabbeinu Tam claims that this din of Sikh Shliya is only with the Rabbanon. It was only instituted in very, very limited cases, maybe on Yom Kippur, by Truma. There is no such klal across the board called Sikh Shliya in Kol HaTorah Kula. And others disagree. So that was a big tumult. Maisa, it probably doesn't make too much difference with Zman Hazeh. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that nobody's, not too many people are machmir with Zman Hazeh to check the kashrus of the soaps. Why is that? According to half the Rishonim, according to many Rishonim, it's a problem. Sikh Kishtiyah. So Aruch HaShulchan writes that the way our soaps are made, there's so much chazarai put into the soaps that even whatever's treif is all nifsa me'achila anyway. So even if it is treif, it's still mutar. You can eat the soap also if you really want. Achshavei, okay, chumim with the Rabbanan. Case of good and sick, but comes the Aruch HaShulchan says the oilam today is not so machmer on the Sikh Kishtiyah part. So we're not going to deal with that problem. When we learn Pesachim, we spent 2 days on the Sikh Kishtiyah, right? A lot of time in that. Okay. Then I think it transformed to become a Shabbat Shuvah Drasha at one year. So I forgot about it. Two, 3 years ago, we spoke about the Shabbat Shuvah Drasha, Sikh Kishtiyah, and Yom Kippur, and Trefa Soaps, and Truma, and a sort of other relevant Lamaisa topics. Okay. Anyway. But the real shayla, in terms of a Shabbos, is what interests us. Comes to Mordechai and says, if you start to wash your hands with this chaylev stuff, so it's going to start to change forms. It started out as being solid, and now you rub your hands on it, it's going to start to become a liquid, and that's a problem. Why is that a problem? No, who remembers? It's a problem of what? Of a Miraskin as a shelag. We thought we'd never see that anymore. A Miraskin as a shelag. There's still snow. The last piece of snow melted in front of my house yesterday. We got like a hole. We were watching it and watching it and watching it. And it went away. So the Eina, now it's time for Chodesh Aviv. So Eina Raskin es Shelag comes to Mordechai and says, if you rub your hands and you're causing the soap to turn into liquid, that's a problem. That's a problem. Is that really a problem? So first of all, you got to go back Chazor a little bit, back to Emir Askin and Sashelik. No, what was the Machlekes? Three Machlekes Rishon. Who's going to tell us? Quick, who's going to remind us? Well, right. So some Rishonim said it's a problem of Molid that you're changing the status of something that's a Beirei, a Samayim, according to Rashi. Then the other Rebbeinu Baruch said it's a Shalav of Nola, it's a Shalav of a Mukta type of a Shalav. And the Rashba and the Rambam said what? It's a gzeir mishum ha, mishum dosh, mishum schikas peiris, etc. So come the poskim and say, the Mordechai who's saying that you can't rub your hands together on the soap and turning the soap into a liquid, that only makes sense if you don't accept the Ram and the Rash. When you go the root of schikas peiris, if you hold like Rashi, maybe like the Rebbeinu Baruch, that these are problems of molid and nola and all those kinds of things, so then this is a potential shiloh. This would takabi also, so the Mordechai makes a lot of sense. So again, it's only a problem with the Rabbanan. Molid is not a derais, and nola is not a derais. It's a potential shiloh. It could be, depending on what you hold about Emraska Seshelet. So came along the Tiferet Yisrael and turned the world upside down in the Sugif. So I put it on the Marmakamas. I just put it, others have quoted it. Mishabur quotes it. Comes into Tiferes Yisrael, and he says, in his psicha, right? We remember that, I think that was the first day of Shia, we quoted his psicha. Kalkalos HaShabbos, right? So he quotes, and I think this is not in the psicha, this is in, I think, Melech HaSlisha, he has this one, if I'm not mistaken. So he has the following insight. He says, you know, the Rishayim are pilpling about the soaps, is a shayla of molid, not a shayla of molid, is it nayla, says the Tiferes Yisrael, b'med v'amamurim, that was in the olden days, when they used the solid big bars, a brick of soap or something. But he says, if you have a waxy kind of a soap, if you have a soap that's more of a softer, jelly kind of a soap, then it much more resembles a wax kind of material. That's a much more serious problem. That's a shal deraisa. That's a disa deraisa of Mareach. That's like the Mishnah says to Yechman Zakai, the person who took the wax and maneuvered and pushed the wax around and formed the covered up the hole of the barrel. That's a deraisa of Mareach. Who would deny if you've soap as manazeh? That's a deraisa of Mareach. Ad kan the Helga Tiferes Yisrael. Mishnah Berurah quotes this chumra. So the question is this true? That is the correct extrapolation from the case of the wax. There's a tremendous difference in the case of the wax and the case of the soap. So Rav Avadi Yosef, in one of his early tshuvas in Yavi Oimer, those his early tshuvas. So he has a long tshuva about this Tiferes Yisrael, and he says he doesn't see the connection b'chlal. He says that if you think about it, there's a tremendous difference between the two. In the case of the wax, so I'm maneuvering the wax, I'm shaping and folding and maneuvering it into a specific way, and I want it to stay there. That's my goal, is that I should create the smooth out surface of the wax, that the wax should now stay in place. It should clog the hole, or the person is trying to block the braces from cutting into his gums. I'm putting it there for a significant period of time. In the case of the soap, so what did I do? So I took this waxy kind of a soap, this mushy, jellyish kind of a soap, and I'm smoothing it out. What am I doing? Then I'm washing it with water. It's going down the drain. So he says, "Ein lechawat, Rabbi say, no. Ein lecha, ein oshawat, ein oshakayama gol mizeh. That's the ultimate ein oshakayama. That's mamish nothing. There's no malacha bechlal. Absolutely nothing. Het the gomer." And then Rabbi Vazi Yosef turns around and he says, "You know," he says, "I don't understand the Tiferes Yisrael. I don't understand why he assered the jelly kinds of soaps. And I don't understand why he wasn't so worried about the solid soaps." He said, "It appears to me," says Rav Avadya, "that there's more of a problem of memachek on the solid soaps." You know why? Because on the solid soaps, even though it's true the part that's coming off is going down the drain, but what's left behind? The block of soap itself. So you just smoothed out the block. You had this very rough, hard, sharp kind of a big blob of soap, and now, but you're washing your hands, you're taking off some of the, you're making a nice, smoother surface on the soap." So he says, "Oh, maybe that's a problem, Machik. Not the Machik on the part of the soap that's rubbing off, and the part on the block and the brick of soap that's left behind. Maybe that should have been a problem with Machik, and that the Tiferes Yisrael wasn't gairis." And then Rav Avadya turns around and says, "And if that's the problem, then there's nothing to worry about. Pesha, you know why? Because our soaps." This is beautiful, smooth, ivory soaps. Dove, you know, these beautiful, wonderful, there's no rough edges to them. They smell good, they feel good, they're gavaldic. But if I can't have anything, there's nothing like, guys, nothing like taking a shower with a new fresh bar of soap, right? Come on. I mean, you know what it's like when you get into the shower and you have this like little teeny, you know, piece left, and you rub up one arm and then there's nothing left. Like, everyone knows those feelings, right? So what did I accomplish? I took a beautiful, smooth, delicious bar of soap, and I made it to half a bar of soap by using it. I didn't do anything. So says Rav Avadya, there's no problem on the jelly soaps, there's no problem on the hard soaps, everything's good. Unless you're still worried about the Tiferes Yisrael, that's what you're worried about, about the Mordechai, you're worried about the molid. Rambam, Rashba, we're not so sure that there's any real problem. Let's not forget, who is tend to be very, very make on some of those shilas, right? The Sephardim weren't as concerned about some of those, remember the Peshtida stories? They were less concerned than the Ashkenazim were. So Rav Avadya writes, the whole soap story is the Hoyo Dvarmiyam. Afa Pichei, notwithstanding Rav Avadya's disagreement with the Tiferes Yisrael, Ma'aseh Mishnah Berurah quotes the Tiferes Yisrael. The Minhag HaOlam has become to be like the Tiferes Yisrael. The Minhag is that we don't use the soaps. We don't use the hard bars of soap because we're worried about maybe the Mordechai's concern about the moilid. And we don't use the jelly kinds of soaps because they don't exist anymore. Because we're somehow worried about the memarech, memachik, shilas. But come the whole group of poskim and say, Bamed devar mamurim, there's anything to worry about the chlal, either the Mordechai's concern or the Tiferes Yisrael's concern. That's only if there's some consistency to the soap. What if it's mamashal liquid? Mamashal liquid soap? If I have a liquid soap, what could possibly go wrong? Go through the cheshbon. If I have a liquid soap, so how could there be a problem of moilid? What would it be moilid? I'm changing a liquid to a liquid. That's not a problem. The only chashash of the Mordechai is changing the solid to a liquid. But if it's already a liquid, so I put a little more water and make a little liquidier, a little waterier, that's nothing. That's zero. And what are you telling me? Is a problem of memachik, memareach? But man, the Ramamurim, there was a problem of memareach. Who remembers? It's not memachik deraisa, it's not memareach deraisa. At best was a gzeira atu shaiva. What was the example that the Gemara gave? Shemen. What does Rashi say on the spot? Rashi says shemen of. Thick, real thick kind of an oil. The implication of a horrible oil is nothing. It's mamish kemandalesa. So come the later poskim and say, if you have a liquid soap, what could be wrong? What could possibly go wrong with liquid soap? None of the chashashas make any sense. The Mordechai's chashash, zikha doesn't make any sense. The difference is rolls chashash, not a deraisa, not a deraisa. But in het negomor, there's nothing wrong with using liquid soaps on Shabbos. That's what many, many Gedolei poskim write. Except for Hail Yerav Moshe, Igros Moshe. Moshe has a 3-line tshuva, but he asked him about using liquid soap. So Moshe writes, he thinks it's also. Why is it liquid soap also? He writes, in his house they don't use liquid soap on Shabbos. Why? He writes, he thinks there's a problem of memareach on it. What's the problem of memareach? So Moshe addresses in that half a line of a tshuva that it's liquidy, so what could possibly go wrong? Moshe says, but even though it's liquidy, you see that the soap makes bubbles. It makes bubbles. And therefore, who saw the tshuva? Anyone saw the tshuva? Yeah. What does it say? It says, it makes bubbles, and therefore that indicates that what? That must still be something there, and therefore may still be a chashash, maybe a derabon or something that smacks a little bit of mimarech. So don't feel bad if you don't understand it. Like a daily rabbanim in the last 50 years, they quote the tshuva from Moshe, and they write that we don't really understand why Rav Moshe asked the liquid soap. It's hard to understand for Rav Moshe, man. Lamaisa, most poskim will make them on the liquid soaps. So Rav Moshe, don't do a macha for Rav Moshe, macha for Rav Moshe. But the ikim ikra din, it's very, very hard to ask the liquid soaps. The emes is that the Shmir Shabbos Chosa writes in his sefer that he thinks that the ikra din, it's hard to ask the solid soaps also. His man is that. He says the whole reasons to ask the soap are very, 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 very shaky. The Mordechai were not even sure. It's a machlok yisur rishonim. And they're abundant at worst, and the Tiferes Yisrael, they're very hard to understand the Tiferes Yisrael. It's in a Shokhaya Maklal, and then the salads, even the Tiferes Yisrael was makil, because our soaps are very smooth, and it's very, very hard to really be an ass of the soaps maker did. So Shmuel Shabbos writes, listen, there's been a minig Yisrael for hundreds of years already not to use soap on Shabbos, except for the liquidy soaps. So once you try to observe this minig, we're machmer for psachumras for the soap on Shabbos. But the Shmuel Shabbos writes, what if you have a real Shasat Chach? And he gives an example of a Shasat Chach as what? The doctor has to wash his hands. So if the doctor has liquid soap, matoiv, if he doesn't have liquid soap, is it important for the doctor to wash his hands before he takes care of a patient? Not so important.
Well, not only have the Purell, but his one infection of C. difficile, where Purell doesn't clean it. So one has to wash his hands with soap and water, yes?
Oh, okay. Okay. So comes the Shmir Shabbos, and he says, if a doctor's stuck and there's no liquid soap, he can use a bar of soap on Shabbos. So take the Shmir Shabbos. If your mom is stuck, you can use a bar of soap. What about the Purells? Are the Purells a problem with Marech? Are they a problem? So l'chora, there shouldn't be any problem at all. Why? Because they're what? They're very poury. They're very, very liquidy. So l'chora, they should be okay. Unless one wants to be chayshish for Rav Moshe, we're not sure where to draw the line. The minhag ha'olam is to assume that the pirels are okay.
What about like the foamy soaps?
The foamies, yeah. So we, even though there's a machlekes about making like the whipped cream shalom Shabbos. But this is, well, we spoke about this, no? Didn't we talk about by molid? So the whipped cream, Rabbi had said he timed it. It lasts for 30 seconds. No, didn't we have that? Right? 130 seconds. How long do those foams, the Purell foam, last for 2 seconds, right? No. Mikra dinner, okay. Ramesha, just parenthetically, Ramesha, who was machmir on the soaps, Altman Mareach, Ramesha clearly wasn't buying into the Enesha Koyama story. Ravaj's whole attack against the chumra of the soap was that it's Enesha Koyama Klau Klau. Ramesha didn't seem to buy into that at all. Even though it's funny, because Ramesha was one who accepted the Enesha Koyama Klau Klau by other malachas, by Rabbi Tzeveya. But somehow, by this malacha, Ramesha wasn't gairus this whole idea of Enesha Koyama Klau.
How much of a Shasat Chach do you need? Meaning, very often when you go to a hotel, they only give you bar soaps. Is that enough to use bar soaps? That's all you have?
I gotta bring your own liquid soap. You bring your own Purell with you. You mean your mama's, your guy's mama's stuck. It's the wash of hands. I don't know. The case that the Shabbos was talking about was the case with Ahis. So he speaks specifically about a doctor. Okay. So I don't know. Gotta ask the doctors about how much Shasat Chach it is.
Rabbi, on the foam soaps, aside from the, let's say we would assume that it doesn't last for a long time, so there's no mold, but if, let's say, the 5 seconds that it does, and then I start spreading, and then it turns into a more liquidy
But even that doesn't last long. We're going to talk about stuff that gets absorbed into the hand. We're going to talk about that in a second. So because Rav Moshe was... it's said over the Nevar Yashiv. I don't remember seeing it in print. I've heard it in the Nevar Yashiv. It's a very simple test. Take it and turn it over. See what happens. If it falls down, if it plops down, it's also. If it pours down, it's more. It's a completely rock. I don't know. That's what I've heard.
Is the mucker for Enosh HaTayim a foul of the Mishnah? At least that's the way like a Rambam said.
Yeah, the Kosev. I don't know. I'm not sure. So this question that Rav Avadya raised in terms of the Enosh HaKayama part, which again, the Pharisees all seem to ignore, and Rav Moshe is clearly ignoring. So this is going to play out now in other potential applications of the Merech as well. It's the most famous, probably the most famous, outside the soaps, most famous Shaila that's come up in the last 100 years in terms of Merech is the issue of toothpaste. So Rav Moshe, in the next, the same tshuva, so one tiny tshuva after another, so the answer of Rav Moshe about toothpaste, so Rav Moshe, this famous psak, the toothpaste is a problem of Memachik, Memarech. So there was the famous discussion that took place in the Rav Shir about this Pesach. Rav Moshe is recorded in Nefesh HaRav. So when one of the Talmidim told, I guess they were learning Shabbos, so they mentioned to the Rav that Rav Moshe had published a tshuva that he asked the toothpaste because of the Memachik. So apparently the way that the Pesach was first presented to the Rav was that Rav Moshe was chayshish that it's like the original Memachik, the Mishkan, that you're smoothing off the teeth. Every time you brush the teeth, you're taking away from the layer of the teeth. So the Rav said, if that's true, if you brush your teeth 100 times, you shouldn't have any teeth left. That was the Rav. So new dentist, is that true? If you not true. Why is it not true? Okay, a million times. Because the flora keeps on re...
You have gum recession and you have no enamel outside. Actually, no. It's a long-term, very hard brushing.
You had to brush for 20 years in order to knock away your tooth. Okay. So, because why? Because it keeps on, even though some of the tooth microscopically starts to dissolve, but doesn't the fluoride re-something to the tooth? Not really? Re-enamel something? I don't know. So one of the dentists in my shoe was trying to explain to me. I didn't know what he was talking about. But, okay. Bottom line is, you brush your teeth 20 times, you're not going to lose your tooth. Okay. So that's what the Rav said to the supposed Pesach of Rav Moshe. So the Talmud came back to the Rav and said, no, that's not what Rav Moshe meant. Rav Moshe didn't mean it's a problem of smoothing the tooth. He meant it was a problem of smoothing the toothpaste. It's a shayla that you're making a surface with the toothpaste. So the Rav thought about it and said, no, that's also not a problem. Why is that not a problem? Because you're spitting it out right away. It's an Enosh HaKayama klal. It's not really going to stay on your teeth. So then the way the story is Rabbi Avadya Yosef also has this in his tshuvas about toothpaste. He also has this topo about the toothpaste really should be mutter because you're not interested in bichlal. The same way Rabbi Avadya didn't think the soap was a problem because it's coming right off. So the toothpaste isn't a problem because it's coming right off. So then Rabbi Avadya said, but the advertisements tell us that some of the toothpaste really stays behind on the teeth. Is that true? So Rabbi Avadya wasn't sure about that.
Yeah.
So he says like this. He says, the ads tell us that the dentist, they're claiming, the toothpaste, Colgate's claiming that some of the toothpaste stays behind. So Rav Avadya has two tainas against that. He says, first of all, Mistama Shakranim Haim. That's what he writes, number one, Mistama, they're lying. He says, and then for AJ Shalem, it's a space faker. And even if Tumtsalem, that they're telling the truth, he says, but it's micros, you can't see it. The fever, I say that. Oh, and you finish brushing your teeth. Open up your mouth and look in the mirror. Do you see toothpaste on you? Unless you did a lousy job spitting out. So Rav Avadya writes, Mistama, they're not telling the truth. And even if they are telling the truth, it doesn't really matter in halacha. So what Rav Avadya said so dramatically in the tshuva, that's the way Rav Shach calls from the Rav. The same basic idea that this is Nishken Memarez, Nishken Memachek, which is the same idea that was echoed by Rav Avadya about the soap. It's the same pismin. So it's not surprising. Rav Moshe's Lashitasa also. Rav Moshe asked the soap. Rav Moshe went with the Tiferes Yisrael, with the Mishnah Berurah, that the fact that it's coming off the hands in a minute doesn't make a difference. So Rav Moshe Lashitasa asked the toothpaste also. So you have this running machlokes, the G'day Le'ilam, about within these guidelines, the parameters of Memareach, the fact that you're getting rid of it any given second, does that alter the Memareach? So at the end of the day, there was still the machlokes in Rav Moshe and the Rav about the brushing of the teeth, just be time the toothpaste. Then you have other issues in terms of the issues that we spoke a little bit about. Also, related back to what we spoke about Chovil the other day, maybe some people when they brush their teeth, maybe they bleed. So it depends on the person. So if a person bleeds all the time when they brush their teeth, so two things. They shouldn't brush their teeth on Shabbos. Number two, they should go to the dentist more often. So if a person always bleeding, most of the time bleeds, that's a psychoratia problem. Then we have issues of schita on the toothbrush. We spoke about that also, right? Can we talk about that? Not the brushes, the rivet. We talk about the pot brushes, no? Right? The Ravid says you have a handle, right? When the Ravid holds as a handle, and the Rambam and the Ravid disagree, but it's hairs, it's bristles, so maybe the bristles are better than Schita. Talk about all this, no? Maybe there's no Schita Beseya, this is better than Schita Beseya. So again, you have a lot of different things. Every shaila that you have about the brushing of teeth, so you have a Tzadam Lakan Lakan. So there are some poskim who ask it all brushing of teeth. There are some who are matha without toothpaste, or some who are matha without toothbrushes, some who are matha without either. You know, either. Well, I don't know how you do that. So whatever it is, different opinions. You mean that the little triangle stuff with the bells ashkach the Shabbos? Not that. That's a whole different ballgame.
Like the little Colgate ones.
The what?
Like
the liquidy?
Your mom is liquid.
What is it? It's more of a jelly. Yeah. Can you plop it or pour it? There have been studies done. Psychological studies done about the purchasing of toothpaste today. That purchasing of toothpaste is becoming a very, very, like many things in this world, very, very anxiety-provoking activity. I'll tell you why. It's very simple psychology. In the olden days, you went to the store, there was one thing of toothpaste. That was the end of society, the Colgate Crest. That was it. So you pick, you close your eyes, you take whichever one you want. Fine. Now, even within Colgate, there are 87 different possibilities as to what you want. You have to decide, depending on whether you have sensitive gums or non-sensitive gums, whether you want this color toothpaste, that color toothpaste, whether you want mint flavor, you want lemon flavor, you want orange flavor, whatever. You have so many different possibilities. So I've seen people, myself including, standing frozen, paralyzed in fear of possibly buying the wrong toothpaste. So why do I say this? Because there have been studies done about the parallel between that and the dating process, that when in the olden days, so what, there were 10 people living in the shtetl, so there were 5 boys and there were 5 girls, so the odds are you have 1 out of 5 chance, so hopefully you get the right person. Now, everything, so many different possibilities, everyone's different, this one went to that seminary, this one went to this one, this was majoring, and this was majoring, and this was she's 5'3", she's 5'6", so many different possibilities, people paralyzed, they can't move, that's the problem. You have to try to learn how to buy toothpaste and learn how to get married.
Some of these scrapes, their tooth, their nails. Yeah. There is coating, there is leftover food and things that are better. Yep.
I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. What do I think about brushing teeth? I just said that yesh, omim this, yesh, omim that, yesh, omim this, yesh, omim that. Want to know what I think or what I do? There are people in the Sobolovsky home who brush their teeth on Shabbos.
How?
All I know is that I see that little triangle stuff, you know, the little, that stuff floating around my house. I imagine somebody uses it. I don't use it. I assume somebody uses it. I don't know who. And then I see other, I don't know. There's usually the conversation goes in the house, go brush teeth before you go to sleep. I can't, it's Shabbos. Go brush teeth. Abba said I'm not allowed to. And then I usually walk out. And the conversation continues. Okay. There are Mikilim. In the Sobolovsky home. Okay. Rabbi said, moving on to our next crisis issue in terms of Mimarech. There is a very, very cryptic comment of the Chazon Ish. I don't know if I even put it on. I put it on. It's mamash. It's probably the shortest marmocho. It's like 5 words. The Chazon Ish says, if a person has a cut, a wound or something, and you want to put some kind of a cream on it, antibiotic cream, whatever other kind of cream you want to put on this, so the Chazon Ish says that you shouldn't make sure not to be memareach, just put it on without being memareach, something like that, right? Get the exact berach, that's his lashon. It says, don't smear it on, but just kind of put it on. What do those words mean exactly? You go put it on. What does that mean? So there was a machloikes between the contemporaries of Aruch Shabbos. What does 5 words in the Chazon Ish were all about? So the Shmir Shabbos has in one of his footnotes that he thinks what the Chazon Ish meant was as follows. He said that if you take an antibiotic cream and just kind of plop it onto the wound, then you put a band-aid on, it's going to be memarech. It's going to shmir the cream into place, but the Chazon Ish apparently held that was called Shaloi Kederech. If you take the cream and your mamash, you put it on a Q-tip or something and you smear it on and you rub it on in place, that's the Merech, Shalom Merech Deraisa. But if you just plop it on and then you put the bandit over it and that pushes it into place, I didn't really smooth it out myself, I didn't smear it myself, so that at worst is going to be a Keliachayad. And a Keliachayad, well, who's putting on antibiotic cream? It's all Mokham Chayla, otherwise what are you doing it for? So it's all Keliachayad, and Mokham Chayla, and it's all Mutter. Who remembers? We spent some time talking about that, right? So, and it could be this is not going to be a deraisa anyway. It's going to be a kliyachi aron derabanan, because the only time it's a real deraisa is when it's a like real shaiva, things like that. Most of these creams are like toothpaste. These are like the shem ovs maybe. These are not real deraisas anyway. They're not so thick to have a zas surface to be a deraisa. But it's only a derabanan. It's kliyachi aron and derabanan according to Shulchan Aruch. It's mutter even according to the old version of the Ramban. Kavachom the new version of the Ramban as we spoke about Birichas. So that's probably what all the Chazanish meant. It's all Makom Chaylim, therefore it's okay. So Rabbi Ribiad in the back of his sefer has a different view of this whole story. He thinks that the Chazanish didn't mean Kiliach Hayad. He can't tell the Chazanish to be three words. He didn't mean Kiliach Hayad. He thought what he meant was as follows, that the only Dirabonans over here, this whole Memarech is Dirabonan, because it's not a real solid kind of a surfacey kind of a thing. So at the worst, it's only a Dirabonan. He says that when it comes to the derabbanan of memachik, they only ask the derabbanan of memachik if you really mamish do it. If you don't really do it, you don't really shmear it. So bechia gavne lo gross. It's like a gzera legzera. Even if I would take wax, and I would take wax, which is a derais of memachik, and not actually shmear it into place, just kind of plop it into the hole. So the Rambam says that's only derabbanan. You can't put the wax in gzera. You may come to shmear it into place. So the whole placing something down without an actual smearing motion is a derabanan, and it's a derabanan on a derabanan, b'chia gavra lo gozru. So it's a big difference between those two biurim in the Chazanish, because it's chapsin afkamina, does the person really have to meet the criteria of a chayla? According to the Shamsa's version, it should be a problem with derabanan. We're being matri because it's kiliyachiyan and a derabanan, then you have to invoke makam chayla. Yeah, like baby, like the diaper creams, all that kind of stuff is all makom chayla. Guys, antibiotics, afraid of infection. These are all makom chaylas. But lo yitzuya wouldn't be such as I'm makom chayla. So then, would you be able to? You may run into refuah problems if you don't have the kula of chaylas. You may have other issues to deal with. But according to the Shmir Shabbos' version of the Chazanish, it's really aser. But makom chayla is the matir. According to Rabbi Ribiat, it's a more lenient version of what the Chazanish meant. It was never really yisur at all. Yeah, it's just plopping the band-aid on afterwards. It would be
That's not spreading it, right.
So the Shmir Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman and another tzad that certain creams get absorbed into the skin right away, or at least enough that you don't really see anything left on the surface. So Shmir Shabbos writes that Chari is going to be equal to those poskim who hold that when it's Enosh HaKayom, it's okay. So the same way that the Rebbe Vajra and the Rav were not so concerned with the soap that gets thrown down the drain and the toothpaste that gets spit out. So if it disappears right away, much the nafkamina, whether it disappears by being spit out into down the drain or whether it gets absorbed into the body. If tachlos, I can't see it anymore, so then it's okay. So that's also called Enosh HaKayom HaKlal HaKlal. So, but there are different kinds of creams. So let's see, if diaper cream sits there for a long time until it changes the baby the next time. So that's not called Enosh HaKayom HaKlal, but other kinds of creams. No, are there any kind of medications get absorbed right in?
Some
of the moisturizer stuff. Okay, so according to that. Yes, I don't think he means that. I think he means that you can't see it. Whatever you can't see is okay. It's another possible tzad. Anyway, so the bottom line is that the machik in the Gemara itself, there's not all that much. There's the Cyrus, there's the Shaiva, there's the Xeris up to the Shaiva. In the Rishonim, you have the Mordechai's extension, the Shaiva, whether it applies to Oakland or not. Then you have the Tiferes Yisrael, start the ball rolling with the soaps. Then you have that fundamental question, the Gedalia Post came about, it's the Enosh HaKayama story, which is going to affect a lot of these Shailas. And then you have that cryptic line, the Chazanish, what exactly Chazanish meant. Was it Machom Chayla? Was it the Rabbanans? Double the Rabbanans? Whatever you want to call it. So we pretty much make a siyum on the Melach of Mamachik. Hopefully, Mez Hashem tomorrow. So hopefully, everyone will get ahead of the Marmakamos. We're going to start the Melach of Kaysev. Kaysev is a big Melach. Okay? So hopefully, Mez Hashem, that should take us till after Pesach. I don't think we're going to finish Kaysev before Pesach. We'll probably have to finish it up a little bit.